the story is really different from neighborhood to neighborhood. Southside neighborhoods like Bayview, down on the southeast side, that goes back to 1879 when it was Milwaukee's first suburb. And it was built as a company town around an iron mill on the south end of the Hone Bridge, right where the Lake Express Ferry is, you know that area, mm-hmm. Coast Guard Station. Mm-hmm. And they actually began to make iron there back in 1868. And Bayview was a pretty obvious name for kind of this looking across Milwaukee Bay at the what became downtown Milwaukee. So it became a suburb back in 1879, and just 8 years later, it was became part of the city of Milwaukee back in 1887. Mm-hmm. So I've compared that to getting married but keeping your name. So it's still really Bayview. There's a whole rash of neighborhoods that whose names date from the 1970s. It was a period kind of post-60s of activism and involvement and kind of grassroots involvement. And that was obviously named after the park there up on Burleigh and Sherman Boulevard, but it became to embrace that entire area. And it became kind of an experiment in racial integration, tolerance, and it's still in some of the finest housing in Milwaukee. That's a newer name. Brewer's Hill is a made-up name. That goes back to the 1970s as well. And one thing you learn about neighborhoods is that they're always changing. You know, all neighborhoods are changing neighborhoods and always have been. So in the case of Brewer's Hill, for our parents and grandparents, that was the Sixth Ward. That's what they would have called it. And then back in the 1970s, the state wanted to put a prison on the river, you know, right in the shadow of that neighborhood. And the neighbors said, nope, not going to happen. So they kind of organized an opposition to that proposal. And they were on a hill above the Schlitz Brewery. So they called themselves Historic Brewer's Hill of Sherman's Edition. So Brewer's Hill, kind of for mm-hmm. short. So that's a newer name. Boy, other names, you know, ones that also from the 70s, Harambe, you know, on the north side. That comes from the Harambe Ombudsman Project, which was a kind of a UWM-affiliated effort to kind of work on the grassroots to solve grassroots problems, and it means pulling together in Swahili. So it reflects the African-American heritage of that neighborhood, and that one stuck as well. So other ones right next door, they have Lindsay Heights, named after Bernice Lindsay, who was a kind of a real power in the black community, secretary of the YWCA for years and years and years in Milwaukee. Metcalf Park, named after Ralph Metcalf, who was, his Milwaukee association is that he was a Marquette graduate, but he was an Olympic track star. That's sort of honoring his legacy in Milwaukee. So Metcalf Park is named after him. Amani, also a Swahili word, means unity. So that was right next to Lindsay Heights. So you have kind of names that are newer but reflect the heritage of the groups who are there today.
Were there any neighborhood names that people really tried to make happen that just went by the wayside, that, you know, people didn't pick up?
Well, that's a good question. Fifth Ward is one that maybe hasn't gotten quite the traction, you know, that its developers had hoped. That remains Walker's Point. Washington Heights is a name that was, actually I was part of that process. We were doing neighborhood posters back in the 80s, and it's a really distinct section of town, you know, just west of Washington Park, and it's on the high ground between Washington Highlands and Washington Park. Washington Boulevard is its main spine, so it's a pretty obvious name. Before that, a lot of people called it St. Sebastian's or St. Seb's, which is fine for the Catholics, but for the Lutherans, the Jews, others who lived there, you know, that was, you know, perhaps not as inclusive as it might have been. So Washington Heights was a good compromise. But ones that didn't stick, others that are gone, there's a neighborhood called Center City, which is just off of Valeet Street at roughly Holly Road, no, that section right behind the MPS, their administration building. And it was called Center City because it was in between Wauwatosa and Milwaukee. So this kind of little working class settlement on the edge of the Menominee Valley. And that name's pretty much gone. No, that has kind of disappeared. So there are, you know, these things, they come and go. You know, neighbors come and go. Third Ward early on was the Bloody Third because of all the Irish saloons in that section of town. Then it became the real heart of Milwaukee's Sicilian community. So it's kind of the proliferation, I'd say more 1970s, you know, in terms of Milwaukee's long history.
The Bloody Third. What were the Irish doing that made it the Bloody Third?
They were drinking, they were fighting, they were getting arrested. They had the highest arrest rate in Milwaukee at a time when they were doing that kind of ethnic profiling. They came here, in many cases, with not much more than the clothes on their backs. So they made the Third Ward, which is a filled-in swamp. Yeah, this was not the most desirable real estate in Milwaukee. They made that, in some ways, kind of a behavioral sink, kind of Milwaukee's first ghetto, and people would settle their arguments with fisticuffs, you know, back in those days. And cops, you know, some of the old stories about cops going into those neighborhoods, to arrest somebody, you had to beat them in a fair fight. So it was really quite different from the way things have become. And then the Irish, you know, as time went on, partly through their political connections and involvements, and partly through just, you know, dint of effort and struggle and ambition, kind of moved up and moved out. And now, you know, they're certainly a power in Milwaukee. You know, you have Irish judges, Irish politicians, and a lot of people in business as well. So they're doing just fine. Milwaukee does not have an official designation as Minneapolis does, as Chicago does. A lot of cities don't, some do. And back in the 80s, guys I knew with the city were trying to develop a neighborhood map, and they ended up with around 200 neighborhoods. In every square inch was something. And you're gonna put some round pegs in square holes if you try that, sort of forcing the issue. So my favorite one is just east and a bit south of where we are. It was the area east of the Allen Bradley or Rockwell Automation Clock Tower, and they called that Clock Tower Acres. You know, so people wake up in the morning saying, "Oh, I live in Clock Tower Acres," to their surprise. You know, so that's one that is not developed by it. that one does not have a T-shirt, you know, or a bumper sticker. So I think I did a book called Milwaukee City and Neighborhoods with Historic Milwaukee Inc. Came out in fall of 2015, and we didn't force the issue. No, there were areas that were either too amorphous or too minuscule to kind of say, "I am this, I am that." So we drew a line around the older part of town, the pre-World War II part of Milwaukee, and inside identified 37 different neighborhoods. So there's no shortage. I wouldn't say there are 200 neighborhoods that make sense in the city, especially when you get out to the area, the northwest side, southwest side, developed after World War II, because that was settled in just one kind of a spasm of development between 45 and 60. And that was the biggest building boom in American history. You know, you have all these GIs coming back from World War II. Nothing had been built since before the Depression, so you had 15 years of drought. So you have just this explosion. And those neighborhoods they're not interchangeable. No, they all have their own kind of character, but they're pretty close. You know, you all have this square mile of subdivisions with apartments, you know, along the arterials, and they all have the park, they all have the schools. So they're well planned, but they don't have the strong sense of place you'd find in a Walker's Point or a Bayview or a Third Ward or a Brewer's Hill.
When they made the posters, was there a committee that had to like go to the neighborhood and say, "What do you think you are?"
No, there was a lot of that was me. You know, that was my job working for the poster, working on the poster series for the city. And I'm from the South Side. My grandparents had a hardware store on Lincoln Avenue for 50 years, which doesn't give me a bigger vote than anybody else. But I had some sense kind of what the area, its story was historically and geographically. We did some surveys in Pigsville, we did, and that actually came back as Pig Valley Park, you know, back in the 1980s. So it was Valley Park for the poster series, and I made it Pigsville for the book, because that I think is the more authentic name historically, and by far the more interesting as well. The South Side, you know, the old Polish section of town, the old South Side, Polonia, it really is. It's got a strong sense of place, but it's pretty uniform. You know, it's kind of, you get little houses and big churches, which are kind of the earmarks there. So it's, I don't know, maybe four or five square miles, you know, that is quite the same physically. Early on, Polish, now Latino, and in both cases, you know, one group, very heavily Catholic, being developed, having a community developed on the site. So there wasn't arguing or arm twisting. You know, the borders, in looking back, were fairly obvious. You know, you got the Greenfield Avenue is the line where Walker's Point, which is a whole different kind of a geographic animal. the freeway, I-94 on the east. Then you get two other old neighborhoods, Silver City and Layton Park on the west of 27th Street. So it kind of outlined itself, okay, in a way.
So it wasn't a real hard thing to do, kind of.
No, it's never easy. And the neighborhood, the lines are always shifting. You know, it's kind of, I've talked about neighborhoods as quicksilver creations, you know, because you really can't put your finger on them. You know, they're always kind of in motion, which is just fine. You know, because that's the way we are. You know, we're creatures of change.
So you don't perceive that there's going to be any new neighborhoods kind of emerging out of in between the cracks of neighborhood?
There may be. Right in this area, they're now calling it the Harbor District, and it's actually where Clock Tower Acres is,
which will
die a merciful death, I think. But the Harbor District is the area at the east end of Greenfield Avenue, where the School of Freshwater Sciences is, between Bayview on the south and Walker's Point in the north. So those are two real centers of energy there, and that energy is kind of moving from both directions into the Harbor District. So I look at that as kind of an emerging place name in Milwaukee. So yeah, there new ones will come, new ones will arrive.
When you meet people, are there any fundamental misunderstandings about what neighborhoods are and how they operate that really come to mind?
I think if there's a misconception, it's that neighborhoods function as municipalities do, you know, with their own government and their own laws and their own leaders. It's very informal. It's very grassroots, and it's always by consensus. You'll find people who don't even, if you're on an edge someplace, who won't even say they're in the same neighborhood as somebody who lives across the street. You know, so they tend to be slipperier than I think a lot of people realize. They are creatures of consensus and perception. So that's important to keep in mind. Other places, you know, Chicago, they call these the community areas. You know, they tend to have Minneapolis. You know, they have actually a budget for neighborhood groups. You know, so there they tend to be a little bit more. The lines are a little bit clearer. But in Milwaukee and in most cities, you know, they tend to be quite informal.